Can I bring up the Twilight Zone episode for a second?
Yes,
sure.
Please.
Yeah.
Well, as listeners may be aware, there's a Twilight Zone episode that's very much like this movie, except that the fat comedian playing the genius pool player is Jonathan Winters instead of Jackie Gleason. I looked it up.
Bit of a step down there.
This movie came out September 25th, 1961. The Twilight Zone episode was October 13th, 1961.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that aired while this movie was in theaters.
Mm-hmm. Creepy. Like,
yeah.
I had always assumed one or the other was farther away and that there was some influence, but it's right there.
I guess. Well, I mean, everybody wanted pool.
The novel had been out for several years at that point. And speaking of Ocean's 11, George Clayton Johnson wrote the script for A Game of Pool, although they didn't use his ending. Serling changed the ending on him.
Serling felt he knew how to do endings.
Yeah, and he did them well, usually. I never went back to read the book because it is the Walter Tevis, who wrote The Hustler, the book, also wrote a sequel about Fast Eddie called The Color of Money. He wrote a screenplay for it, and they didn't use it. It's nothing like the book. But I've never been curious enough to go back and read the sequel. It's like, what did the author really want to happen? I don't know.
It's bull crap.
Yeah. Well, and how much of it, do you think Fats threw any of the games at the end to prolong it?
No, absolutely not.
He's not on his character. Fats.
Okay.
He would feel less of himself if he maybe.
I mean, it's not like there's a lot of character development in Fats.
Fats is a force of nature.
He's a great pool player, and he's cool. And that's basically all you need to know about him. That's why Jackie Gleason is able to play him so well, because Jackie Gleason was kind of cool. Even though he was fat, he was a cool guy. He was the great one.
Right? I feel like
to the character, though, it would be an act of disrespect to throw a game.
The fun fact I discovered in this viewing of the movie, and I never realized this before, is that I always thought Minnesota Fats was based on the real Minnesota Fats. But the real Minnesota Fats.
No.
The real Minnesota Fats was took his name from this movie. He was New York Fats.
He was two different Fatses. It was New York and some other state he was using already.
Yeah.
Yep.
And said, oh, I could be Minnesota
Fats
too.
And
the author, fat wherever you want me to be.
Look, I'm just fat. Tell me where you want me to be and how that will help me make money.
And he kept telling the story for years that, oh, yeah, that they based that on me. And the author of the novel said, nope.
Yep.
Well, and not only that, I mean, this, you guys are too young to remember this, but I remember when pool used to be on TV.
Oh,
I remember that too.
Yeah. Willie Moscone and Minnesota Fats were on TV a lot.
Yes.
Come on,
Willie Moscone.
We're old men.
Legitimately hated Minnesota Fats.
For God's
Fats.
Sake, we just watched The Hustler and Anatomy of a Murder for fun.
Some of us don't sound like we had that much fun, Steve.
I had fun. Limited fun and fits and starts.
Well, I guess that's all that can be expected.
I'm too old to sustain it.
Boy, if I had a nickel.
That's all.
If The Hustler continues for more than 3 hours, consult your doctor. Also, press
like
play.
Did.
You paused it in the middle.
This was the short one,
right?
This is only 2 hours,
now
14 minutes.
Now these movies go on forever.
Yeah, why aren't they moving?
I get it. It's dramatic. But take the shot already.
This was the shorter of the movies.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I like
it. It was good.
Both of these movies are interestingly paced in that I thought that the court scenes really flowed in Anatomy of the Murder, and here, you know, you got your super flashy, exciting pool scenes, and then you've got this very sort of sad drama in the middle about, like Steve said, a bunch of broken people.
I mean, they're all broken, really. George C. Scott character is probably the most broken of all of them.
Yep.
Just as I wasn't sure we needed a trick dog in the other movie, we don't need that messe shot here, do we?
No.
That was a little bit showy.
I think
I know exactly the shot he's talking about.
Yeah, that was done by Willie Moscone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was done by any of the actors.
That was clearly a trick shot, not something that would happen in the middle of a game.
Right. Yeah, the way it fits into the montage there, it's like a voiceover that you weren't expecting to pop up.
Yeah.
You know? Watch out for snakes. Is this is the...
I guess he just wanted to give that sign a lesson. No mass A shots,
exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
We're gambling. We're mass A shotting.
What are you going to do? Stop me?
Yeah, I feel like none of these guys would do a showy shot like that just to show off.
This is Ames, mister.
This is Ames.
This is pod racing.
Nope.
Take it's us all right.
I'm not drunk. I'm lame.
Anything more about the Hustler? All right.
Deafening silence.
I have nothing further to add.
All right.
You just like long movies, Phil?
I do. It's going to be Patton and Angus for the next old movie club.
I don't even know what
that is. AC/DC biopic.
That is one of the last movies George C. Scott ever made in 1995.
How about that Beauty and the Beast he did for TV?
Oh, screw you.
Well, Patton's also almost 3 hours long. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's yeah. That's
you,
long.
You should watch but Patton. It's super fun.
You should.
You really only have to watch the speech, right?
No, it's full of fun.
Watch him slap a movie. Watch him slap a guy, and then
you
watch
you magnificent
the
bastard. I read your book.
I read your book.
Patton's fun, and this is my Glenning moment because my grandfather served under him, and so we would watch it, and he would go, "That's not at all." And then every now and then be like, "That's exactly what happened." So Patton is a lot of fun for me. The Last Days of Patton is a terrible movie.
Yeah,
it's George
we're
C. Scott in
that.
A hospital bed for 3 hours. That's not fun.
Well, Last Days, it's right there on the box.
Yeah. Hey, it could have been Carradine. Count your blessings.
That's right.
Just look, it's the ghost of George C. Or not George C. Scott. Look, it's the ghost of General Patton.
So apparently,
with your tanks, and I send the tanks in. I must go.
A fun George C. Scott note on these movies that we've watched tonight. At least one of them was the movie that George C. Scott decided that the Academy Awards were not worth his time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Interesting guy.
Which is what?
It's a meat market, he said. And I'll have no part of it.
Yeah, for Anatomy of a Murder, he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
He was nominated for both.
Ah, for both.
And he determined it was a meat market because he lost, or
no? Well, the first movie that he was nominated for, he said, "I've never wanted anything more in my life than to win this nomination, to win this award, and I just decided that was terrible." So I'm not going to participate anymore. Hmm. And it never really surfaced until Patton, which he was going to actually win. And he said, "Hey, don't nominate me." And the Academy Awards are all, "F you, we're going to nominate you." And so he was nominated and he said, "Well, I'm not going to participate." And they said, "Well, you're going to win." Nice. And that's when he sent the Indian lady to...
No.
The award on his behalf.
I think you're mixing something up.
That was Marlon.
Oh, wait, no, that's Marlon Brando.
Even I know that.
Oh, good God.
I like your story better, Phil.
Yeah, that's look better.
Every little feather.
Woody Allen sent an Indian woman, too, didn't he?
70s Academy Award.
George C. Scott sent an East Indian.
Screw you, Academy Awards. Les Middle doesn't want your award.
He sent David Niven's Flasher. That's what it was.
Yeah. Sommelier of Old Movie Club, Philip Michaels, thank you.
Hey, screw you, everybody.
Wow.
Yeah. It's hostile.
Wow.
At the Old Movie Club.
Wow. They are cranky old men. That's what we've learned.
Old Movie Club.
You know what, that probably hurt, Dr. Drang, but I appreciate the fact that you were free of distracting jiggle throughout that.
Well, good thing this was not
a video call. Wow, the Dr. Drang is an extraordinary looking woman.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Oh, you're tall.
You don't look like a college girl.
Like the way you dress.
I keep saying that.
I just hope you layer in some pool shot sound effects throughout. Mm. I think that'll really help.
Nope.
It's in the way that you use it.
All right. Another old movie club is in the books.
Yeah.
Now how would George C. Scott say the name Ben Gazzara?
Ben Gazzara, like who I previous to this only knew from Roadhouse. He's a little
Ben
better.
Ben Gazzara.
Mm-hmm. He's quite good. He's quite ominous and arrogant and clearly not too concerned about his situation. And I was not expecting him to be particularly good, given his star turn in Roadhouse. But
yes.
So there's a podcast I listen to now, the Gilbert Gottfried podcast, and they did an interview with Greg Evigan, and
oh wow,
yeah,
and Greg Evigan,
and they mentioned
tell me about my two dads, Paul Reiser, is he a prick?
Yeah. No, it's quite,
I would like to hear Gilbert Gottfried do a George C. Scott impersonation.
And they mentioned Ben Gazzara and Greg Evigan.
He does an amazing James Mason.
He started with me in
You Magnificent Bastard.
And everyone hosting the show goes, Ben Gazzara wasn't Jesus Christ Superstar. He goes, oh no, I meant Ben Vereen.
Wow.
The two are synonymous.
Yeah. Very similar actors.
Yeah, their career paths are.
No, I meant BJ and the Bear.
Yeah.
I will say, Gilbert Gottfried does an amazing James Mason impression. You wouldn't think that.
No, it's
but
true.
But he does.
There's a lot of call for that now, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's why he's podcasting.
What was the deal with Ben Gazzara's cigarette holder?
It's been a real step down in the star-studded career of Gilbert Gottfried.
Terrible thing.
Yeah. Not good.
Anatomy of a Murder has a lot
of... I'm not doing the Affleck thing anymore.
Weird little extra
things. So I guess I might as well talk into a microphone.
Don't make a lot of sense, and I like that about it. Mm. Like the hard-boiled eggs. Some movies would make the hard-boiled eggs mean something. Nope. These guys just like eating hard-boiled eggs sometimes.
And then the old guy drives into a barn for some reason.
Uh-huh.
And that plot is exactly like Hoosiers, except without closure.
That's the thing, though. There's no point in it. That's like half the point of the movie.
I think the point of the hard-boiled egg scene was to show the harbor and the ship works in the background to let you know you're in the UP.
The courthouse for a little while.
Oh, yeah, but the choice of having them eat hard-boiled eggs?
Well, you got to have something to do, you know? Gotta give the actors a little bit of business to do.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
That is absolutely the sort of thing that drunks would eat on their lunch break. Don't ask me how I know that. I know people.
All right.
Well, and if you like Ben Gazzara being, you know, arrogant and condescending, he's a really good Columbo villain.
He totally is.
Yeah.
Was he in any other major films besides this and Roadhouse, out of curiosity? Because I think he comes off pretty well here.
He was in a lot of John Cassavetes films. I mean, he and Cassavetes and Peter Falk were huge friends, which is why
Was he in Rosemary's Baby?
I think so.
Oh.
Let me look him up. But yeah, that's why he and Cassavetes were both Columbo killers in the early years of Columbo.
I don't see him.
Gosh. But he had the TV series Run for Your Life, which was not bad for late 60s.
Hmm.
He plays Jackie Treehorn in Big Lebowski.
Yeah. Spanish Prisoner he's in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like The Spanish Prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always like Mamet, but...
No, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
It is a good movie. If it's Tuesday, it must be Belgium.
And he's in that... This is a stupid joke. He's in the Johnny Depp vehicle, Donnie Brasco. No, he's in Don Bosco. Totally different.
Jeez.
Don Bosco. It's about chocolate syrup.
Yeah, it's about the chocolate syrup gang.
The mafia and chocolate syrup.
Yeah.
Chocolate syrup gang.
All right, I'm going to hang up the thing now.
But I was going to tie that into the apple dumpling gang and make a delicious joke.
I don't think so.
You can't prove otherwise.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Like, send me your
good
files.
Night.
Ben Gazzara!
Ben Gazzara!
Ben Gazzara!
You owe me money!
You're a wreck on a railroad track.
Yeah.